Some of you have read books by Irma Bombeck, and she relayed, and I don't know if this is one of her books or not, but I heard it referenced this past week, that she one day was just tired of listening. It was on the heels of listening to her son tell about a movie in great detail, and she says in characteristic humor, with it punctuated by at least 1,000 you knows and okays. And so she went through that conversation. Then she says that same day she had had several phone calls filled with mindless chatter and honestly was glad to be able to tell the last person that she was speaking with on the phone that she needed to go because she had to catch an airplane. When she grabbed her bags and got into the taxi thinking, okay, now I get a break, and the cab driver's excited that he has Irma Bombeck as a passenger, so he starts going nonstop and telling her about his son that was in college and making all A's, and after all, she's a captive audience, so she's having to listen yet again. She arrives to the airport and finds out that she's 30 minutes early. She says, oh, good. I can just sit here and read my book in silence for a while. And when she sat down and opened up her book, an elderly lady sat beside her, and she said, kind of wistfully, I bet it's cold in Chicago. And this is kind of what I imagine Irma Bombeck doing, said, oh, yes, I'm sure it is. And I suppose that it is. But the woman continued, I haven't been to Chicago in years. That's nice. That's nice. My son lives there, the woman said. Oh, Irma replied, keeping her nose stuck in that book, trying to give all appearance that she was not ready to listen to yet another person. But the woman kept talking. My husband's body is on this plane. We were married 53 years. I don't drive, and the funeral director was so nice. He drove me to the airport today. She set down her book, started listening. The woman droned on, Irma recalls, and it hit me. Here was a person who didn't want money or counsel. All she wanted was for someone to be kind enough to listen. And in desperation, she had turned to a total stranger with her sad story. She continued to talk to me until they announced we were boarding. We walked into the plane, and I saw her sit down in another section. As I hung up my coat, I heard her say to the person next to her, I bet it's cold in Chicago. And it started again. Folks, there are people like that all around us, bearing some burden. It may be grief or fear or just plain loneliness. And what they're longing for and what they need is to encounter someone like you and me that's clothed with kindness. In Colossians 3, verse 12, as Terry read for us, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves, put on, but clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. I love what I read years ago about a man that, a very kind man, that said every morning when he got up and got dressed, the last thing he'd put on was his overcoat of kindness. He wanted to be wrapped up in that overcoat of kindness, and his prayer was that he would touch people with that kindness that day. And this man did touch the lives of hundreds of people. He mowed lawns for sick neighbors. He raked leaves for the elderly. He gave away recorded lectures and books to those that he thought would listen or read. He paid camp fees for needy children. And when he died, his funeral lasted more than 3 hours as people from all walks of life stood to share their encounters with this man who was clothed with kindness. That's what Paul, in prison, is writing about. Clothe yourself with kindness. What is kindness? It means noticing someone else and recognizing his needs. It means seeing the value in every person that you meet. It also includes a desire to serve others or to help others. It's just not feeling compassion, but actually doing something to help someone in need. I like this statement. The spring of kindness is honest concern about other people. And the guideline for showing kindness is respect for other people. You see, we're not being kind, no matter how generous we may be, if we're condescending and haughty in the way that we treat other people. We're not being kind if we put the person down and belittle him by saying, "I'm doing for you what you should be doing for yourself." That's not kind at all. I love this statement as well. To be concerned without being condescending. To be merciful without being manipulative. To be helpful without being haughty. These are godly expressions of kindness. Put most simply, kindness is one's willingness to become involved in another person's need. Summing it up, here's some elements of kindness that we're to clothe ourselves with. We're to have that caring concern. That's where it starts. It starts with genuinely caring about other people in their time of need. Being tenderhearted, compassionate, as Ephesians 4:32, Colossians 3:12, and an abundance of other passages teach us. But it also includes compassion in action. I love the definition that's sometimes given of kindness, that kindness is love in action. It's action. It's something that we do. It's expressed in what we say or do for other people. But I also want to include this, that kindness includes caring confrontation. Genuine love confronts people when their behavior is destructive. And we may think, well, that's not very kind, but consider this statement. Paul was writing to the Christians in Galatia who were confused about grace and liberty. And he says, "Have I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" And what's the answer to that question? Absolutely not. Because kindness, one expression of kindness is when someone is headed down the wrong road, if someone is not doing as they should, it is kind of us to try to help that person, to, with caring, confront him or her. I like what one granddaughter said about her grandmother. "She loves me unconditionally, even when she tells me something I need to do better. Through my ups and downs, she's always supported me. She lets me know when I'm wrong, but never withholds her love from me." That's love, and that's loving kindness. Galatians 6:1, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, caught up in some sin, you who are spiritual, restore such a one." How? "In a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." Folks, sometimes the most kind thing to do is to confront someone, to try to help them. So it includes so many different things. So what does kindness do? Well, it sees a need and it responds. We often become so involved in our own concerns that we're blinded or we turn our eyes away from the needs of others. Isn't that what Jesus was teaching in the parable of the Good Samaritan? That parable that was given in response to the question, and who is my neighbor? And he told about that man that was beaten and left for dead. And the priest and the Levite must have been concerned about their perhaps even holy things, that they didn't stop and take the time to show kindness to this man who was in need. But it was that good Samaritan, that hated person by the Jews, who became involved at great expense. You see, when we wear kindness as a part of our clothing, we don't stop to think about whether we should be kind in a certain situation. It's our constant companion. It's the way that we do things. It's the way that we interact with all kinds of people, wherever they wherever they are. So we see a need and we try to help that person in time of need. A second thing that kindness does is that it makes a difference. I read this past week a story of a woman in Louisville, Kentucky, who was standing at a bus stop waiting on her bus. And she was looking around and she saw a shabbily dressed man standing there. And another person came up to him. She could tell he handed him some money and whispered something in his ear. Well, she had just cashed in her income tax refund, so she had some cash on her. And so she felt compelled. You know, that was such a nice thing to do. I want to try to help that person. And so she took out a $10 bill and went over to him and handed him discreetly that $10 bill and whispered in his ear, "Never despair. Never despair." And she felt so happy that she was able to do that. But the very next day, she came to the same bus stop to wait on her bus and saw that same man. And this shabbily dressed man came over to her and handed her a $100 bill. And she was shocked and said, "Well, what does this mean?" His reply was, "You won, lady. Never despair. Paid 10 to 1 at Churchill Downs yesterday." Well, that expression of kindness was mistaken. But the moral of the story is, I'm not saying that being kind will necessarily increase your bank account. But I will say that kindness will bless your lives in many other ways that are much more valuable. For one thing, you know what true joy is. You see, kindness doesn't just benefit the ones that we're seeking to be kind to. We're blessed by being kind to others. Someone said, "No act of kindness is ever wasted, for it works a miracle in the heart of the giver." Another said, "Love and kindness are never wasted. They always make a difference. They bless the one who receives them, and they bless you, the giver." Folks, kindness makes a difference. It can soften hearts. Kindness is a powerful thing. It can melt the hardest of hearts. I read about an atheist of years ago, Mr. Charles Bradlaugh, who lived in England. And he is a very talented speaker. Unfortunately, he used his ability to speak well to try to attack Christianity every opportunity that he had. And in London, on one occasion, he had given one of those scathing attacks on Christianity. And at the close of his speech, he dared anyone in the audience to challenge him. And the chairman of this club that was assembled said, "Well, no one here is likely to try Mr. Bradlaugh. We are all of your way of thinking." But then one man stood up. A gas fitter was his occupation. And he said this, "You all know me. I've been a member of this club for 5 years. Some months ago, I lost my work and I was ill. And to make matters worse, my wife was ill. Not one of you came near me, though my illness was known here. But someone came, and his wife nursed us and provided for us. Otherwise, neither my wife nor I would have been alive today. That man was a city missionary whom I had driven away from my door with threats. When I was well enough to think, I asked him why he had been so kind to us, and he told me he had done it for the love of Christ. I say that a religion which will bring a man to the bedside of one who has hated him and cursed him is a good thing for this life." That took courage for him to stand up and say that, but what an incredible witness to the power of kindness. How it can melt hearts. One writer says you can lift sad people up with kindness. With kindness you can cool angry people down. With kindness you can bridge racial, ethnic, socioeconomic, and gender barriers. With kindness you can lower someone's stress or reduce someone's fear. I like Frederick Faber's quote, Kindness has converted more sinners than zeal, eloquence, or learning. Kindness is a powerful thing. It makes a difference. One of the differences that it makes, or another one, is that it can often provoke another act of kindness. Hebrews 10:24 tells us that we should be provoking one another in our assemblies. Provoking, that's King James wording. New King James says, stir up. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Provoke or spur one another on. In our gatherings together, we should be encouraging, stirring one another up to be more engaged in performing acts of kindness for one another and for everyone around us. One of the greatest ways to do that is, if you've been the beneficiary of some kindness, is to pay it forward. To pay it forward. Amelia Earhart is credited with these words: no kind action ever stops with itself. One kind action leads to another. Good example is followed. A single act of kindness throws out roots in all directions, and the roots spring up and make new trees. The greatest work that kindness does to others is that it makes them kind themselves. Scott Adams adds, remember, there's no such thing as a small act of kindness. Every act creates a ripple with no logical end. Another thing kindness does is that it glorifies God. Listen to Jesus. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds or your acts of kindness before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, a kind deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have their glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, a kind deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed, your kind deed, may be in secret. And your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you. Earlier in that Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, your kind deeds, but glorify your Father who is in heaven. Clothing ourselves with kindness, being kind to those around us, glorifies God. So why be kind? I want to conclude with two reasons. Number one, because God is kind. Listen to Ephesians 2. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. It's a beautiful passage, beautiful context. But I want to highlight two words that are used together that should always go together. And that's grace and kindness. Grace and kindness. The greatest exhibition of God's kindness is what Jesus has done for us and the love that prompted that gift. So why be kind? Because God is kind and because He wants us to be kind. Be imitators of God as dear children, Ephesians 5 verse 1. Luke 6:35 says, but love your enemies, Jesus speaking here. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great. And you'll be sons of the Most High. For He, the Most High, God, is kind to the unthankful and evil. There's a temptation to be kind to those who are kind to us. But God is kind even to those who don't appreciate it, even to those who are living obliviously to His existence. And we're called to be kind like God. I'm going retro for a moment here. Don Sims remembered who Glenn Campbell was. Eric didn't have a clue. I vaguely remember him. But he wrote and sung a song, "Less of Me." Let me be a little kinder. Let me be a little blinder to the faults of those about me. Let me praise a little more. Let me be, when I'm weary, just a little bit more cheery. Think a little more of others and a little less of me. Let me be a little braver when temptation bids me waver. Let me strive a little harder to be all that I should be. Let me be a little meeker with a brother that is weaker. Let me think more of my neighbor and a little less of me. May this be our prayer today and every day. Let me be a little kinder. Let me be a little kinder. If it's your desire to respond to the kindness and the grace of God, as He demonstrated most profoundly through the gift of His Son, our hope and our prayer is that you'll obey the gospel, that you'll become a child of God, that you'll confess the sweet name of Jesus, having turned from sin, and be baptized into Christ so your sins can be washed away, all because of His grace and His kindness. And may that grace and kindness continue to impact all of our lives, and do, as we follow in the steps of Jesus, that we want to be kind like God, like Jesus. We want to glorify Him by being kind, putting on that overcoat of kindness, allowing it to impact everything that we do. If you need the prayers of the church on your behalf, the kindness of God is that He gives us second chances, third chances. He gives us opportunity to confess our sins and ask Him to forgive. And the promise is that when we do that, when we're penitent, the blood of Jesus will wash away those sins. If you need to respond to the invitation of Jesus this morning, please come right now as we stand and sing.